Okay, so I'm really glad that we've got onto the topic of revolution, insurrectionary movements. Because it leads in perfectly to my next question, which is, you end your text on Hume with a presentation of Deleuze's thought as countering a fear of politics, characteristic of the dominant image of thought, one which denies the demos both epistemic and moral knowledge, and so passes politics into the hands of experts, you know, following this sort of Platonic line. So as a follow-up to the last question, I'd like to press you in particular on the role not only of the demos within your politics, but also of liberal democracy. So in a particularly powerful passage, and I really like this one near the end, you counter the claims not only of the reactionary, but also the liberal and even the radical reformer with a truly revolutionary becoming you find in the work of Deleuze and Guattari, what you call the injection of creativity into daily life. So how do you see this contrasting with the operation of liberal democracies? And considering the revolutionary upheavals not only of the last year, I mean, we've seen what's happened in Chile and Hong Kong, but also of the last decade, as you mentioned, Occupy Wall Street. Have your views on this shifted? Or have they been further reinforced by this increasing prevalence of insurrectionary movement?
That's a good question. And a lot has happened since 2009 when I published that book on Deleuze and Hume. And a lot of discussion has turned to liberalism because many people think in many countries around the world there's a shift to illiberalism, right? A kind of authoritarian, rights-denying societies. And so that's led some people to rethink the nature of liberalism itself. And that actually kind of brings me back to Hume again in an important way, because in some respects, Hume is at the onset of the modern liberal tradition, classical liberalism in the very traditional sense, both David Hume and Adam Smith. And there's kind of three pillars to that tradition. One is, you could say, it's the pillar of law, right? A society based on law rather than on arbitrary power. Then the other would be the notion of freedom through representational government, frequent elections, again, protected by the law, free markets, and so on and so forth. And the last one is the idea of progress, which was one that Hume also talks about. And so Hume, in many ways, kind of employs a lot of the concepts and terms that will become key to thinking of liberalism. Now, what my work has been focused on is how a lot of that discussion has become a kind of deep narrative, to borrow a term that Arlie Hochschild has used in her discussion of Trump supporters in the United States, why they vote for Trump when it's contrary to their interest. Her answer is that there's a kind of deep narrative that makes sense of their situation, though it's not completely conscious. And I think there's a lot to the sort of liberal narrative that plays a similar role. So I think a kind of, going back to the previous questions about the role of history, looking back and looking at the intellectual history, looking back at Hume's concepts and kind of problematizing some of Hume's own thoughts about freedom, progress, and law can lead us perhaps to rethink some of these narratives that I think kind of perpetuate some of the issues with the liberal tradition that we live in and allow people to have that kind of fear of politics. They don't deal with politics as long as they can use their cell phone and seem like they can buy stuff from Amazon and so on and so forth. They tend to avoid politics and let someone else deal with it, because discussions of politics often end with family squabbles and so on and so forth. So I think if anything, I think the stuff from before is even as relevant or more relevant than before.
I see. So I remember you mentioned in your book that Hume looks to the origin of the division in British parliamentary democracy, you know, following the English Civil War. Do you think it's possible that we could use Deleuze or Deleuze and Guattari's work to do something similar with divisions that we have today? Or are we continually to turn back to the axiomatic, the global capitalist system, that you might say overcodes or surmounts all of these different divisions?
Yeah, I think I think one thing is that the capitalist axiomatic is not operating independent of the institutions that support it, primarily the political institutions that through law enforce the free contracts of capitalism and so on and so forth. So I think a rethinking of the institutions and problematizing the institutions can lead to a change of how things are done. That's my hope. That's kind of what I'm working on right now, how we can provoke thought about the contemporary scene. And like Hume, I think it would be found problematic by both people who are classical liberals and classical conservatives. So in the same way that Hume was disliked by both the Tories and the Whigs, I think, which doesn't mean he's found a compromise, I think, but he's found the problem to which both are solutions. Right? Mm. The Whig approach was a solution to certain problems of the time, as was the Tory. Similarly, I think both conservative and liberal politicians, especially in the United States, I can't speak as with much familiarity to the situation in the UK, but they also have basically similar solutions to the problem of distribution of power and wealth in society. And I think if we truly problematized that solution, both conservatives and liberals would probably be unhappy.
Okay. That's great. Now, you mentioned very briefly there your current work. Now, I know you're working on a new book called Truth and Relevance, and I was just wondering if you could finish off this interview just by telling us a few things about what you're working on right now.
Great. Yeah, that after I finished my book on What is Philosophy, it's Edinburgh Press has a series of critical introductions and guides to the books that Deleuze and Guattari wrote, and I decided to write a book on What is Philosophy? And part of the reason for that was that that seemed to be one of the books that was least understood, or was the book that was often most disliked by people who had read Deleuze. And so I kind of wrote the book with an effort to try to kind of make sense of it. And actually, one of the things that resulted from that was the idea that the notion of life and making sense of life becomes a key aspect of that book. And art, science, and philosophy become three key ways in which we make sense of life. And I think that What is Philosophy book was really an effort to kind of sketch how that works. And philosophy is one aspect of the way we make sense of life through the creation of concepts. And so after I wrote that book, I began to look back at some of the other work on Deleuze, and that's where I began to realize the metaphysics of problems is a very key aspect of Deleuze's work. And so what I'm currently working on with the book Truth and Relevance is exploring how developing a Deleuzian metaphysics of problems can help address problems not only in continental philosophy, but also analytic philosophy as well. I have always disregarded the distinction between the two. I've always been more interested in what problems are they addressing, whether analytic or continental philosophers. And I do think the kind of a metaphysics of problems as I kind of develop it can address problems that one finds in David Lewis's work, or in Quine, or Michael De La Rocca, also in discussions of Spinoza. And so the first part of the work is laying out this notion of problem as a metaphysical concept and how it can be used to clarify issues in both analytic and continental philosophy. The second part of the work, or it's becoming a big work, so it might be volume two, is taking this notion of problem as life as a problem, which you find in some of the late writings of Deleuze, Immanence of Life. And I think in that, one can really develop the Deleuzian, Humean political theory that we've spent a lot of our time talking about today. So it really is what I am working on right now, this stuff on Deleuze and Hume, and how we can make sense of, how making sense of life, with life understood as a kind of problem, can help clarify issues in political theory. Again, both in more continental traditions of political theory, but also classical liberal and American and analytic traditions of political theory.
Yeah, I have to say that life is a concept that seems to appear like almost perennially in Deleuze and Guattari as well. But I'm really looking forward to the book because I think this is something which has been underexplored. And I think this draws us to a close. So I'd like to thank you very much, Professor Bell, for your time and for the great discussion.
Thank you. Thank you. This was great. I enjoyed my time here. So thanks for all your great questions.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.